Alrighty, friends, we're back. Your favorite podcast of the week. It's Location Weekly. It's episode number 666. We are recording on April the 22nd, and we're happy to be here. How are you, Abriana?
I am doing well. Thank you. I feel like this episode should be like the 13th floor, on the elevator. Maybe we should just like bump it to 667 instead of 666.
Yes,
Just thought,
you
but
skip over. You skip over the one.
yeah, right. But I'm doing good. Yeah. And how are you? Are you ready for Retail Loco?
I think so. Yeah. So Karsten has been in came in on Friday, so he's been here in Toronto with me all weekend and been hanging out and just having some good meals and things like that. And then yeah, now we're heading down to the airport in just a couple hours to fly out to Minneapolis for the show, and it looks like it's all coming together, so can't complain.
Amazing. Well, we have four good stories that we'll get through so that you can get to the airport on time. All right.
Yes, let's do it. All right, kick us off.
All right. So, one of my favorite topics that we've been talking about this year, retail media networks. We're back at it with Walmart, and they are now offering a Luminate platform that's going to link the media network with the ad performance, super important stuff. So Walmart's basically giving their participants that are within that retail media network access to category performance metrics. So this Walmart Luminate platform is going to provide this unified picture of category performance, consumer trends at scale, and it's available for a self-serve integrations within that retail media network, which is Walmart Connect. So it will enable suppliers to identify trends, like categories, more informed data-driven media strategies based on their data. So some examples could be a identifying like a certain segment or audience that an advertiser is running is maybe trading down, or perhaps one is purchasing less frequently than another. So better understanding characteristics of their audience, as well as those segments and how they can target them maybe with more custom messaging. So some exciting stuff there. And the insights activation for Walmart Connect is scheduled to release all the Walmart Luminate Charter subscribers before the end of this year. So it's really, timing it for those holidays, that shopping, and then obviously for 2025 planning. So they're going to also target display ads for Walmart Luminate sourced audiences, and so will agencies and their partners. They've been also working on a couple of other features like creating like customer connection points, so it expanded in-store experiences, which is always important, self-serve capabilities, media partnerships like TikTok. Some on-site display access, in-store attribution for sponsored search ads, brand lift measurement, and in-store audio and some other things. So I think they're like really focusing on like how do they get in front of customers, what are some more capabilities, and extending even to like the ad creative solutions that they're going to be building out through an API later this year. So lots of stuff happening in their retail media network, really trying to get in front of, I think, those agencies and brands and allow them to serve ads on their own, right? That self-serve, like hands-on keyboard users, and just be able to measure it and then obviously like plan and improve their targeting and campaigns. So cool stuff.
Yeah, so not a lot to add to this one. I love the that they've got the Walmart Creative Builder added into this, because I think it's, for a lot of brands, even big ones, if there's ways to use AI and kind of speed up that, content creation, an optimization process, especially when you're kind of trying to, deliver to a retail media network like this, I think that's super helpful. And I like that they've made that part of the package here. And the other just quick comment is I found it fascinating that they mentioned TikTok in here, because everywhere I look with these media networks now, TikTok seems to be present, right? And these influencers that are creating content and kind of, getting behind products and all of this kind of stuff, but having exposure to big retail networks like Walmart is massive, right? I saw it the other day with Gas Station TV, now has a partnership with TikTok, and everybody seems to be kind of, partnering up with them. So I think that's interesting, especially when, we're talking about, are they going to be around? So,
Yeah.
yeah. Anyhow, all right, on to our second story now. So, HERE Technologies, the big mapping POI company, has announced that their APIs are now available on the AWS marketplace for developers. I think this is super interesting. You know, as a startup owner myself in the location analytics space, we run on AWS. We use here POI data as well. So I think, you know, the combination here, I think, is really great. And the fact, and one of the really great things about it is that they're giving 250,000 transactions per month for free, including commercial use. So I think that's, you know, a big lift to the industry. You know, I'll say this, I think here, and a lot of these sort of more traditional sort of mapping POI companies are under a lot of pressure. I think they're, you know, you have the new, you know, open source mapping initiatives that are out there now, that they're all kind of sort of being dragged into, whether they want to or not, to collaborate. And the base premise being, look, the, you know, this POI data, this information, you know, in terms of what a business is, where it is, all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, that should be free for everybody to access. You know, you need to focus on, you know, making your money on the applications on top of that, right? And I think that's where, you know, we certainly see it at Ground Level Insights in the work I'm doing. I think a lot of the companies that, you know, that we interact with who are using and relying on mapping data say the same thing. So I think this is a good move for here, you know, and great, you know, that it's on the AWS platform. You know, not new. They've had a relationship since 2018, but I think I love that they're doing it in this way, making the APIs available there and giving, you know, 250,000, you know, free calls per month on it is amazing. So yeah, what are your thoughts?
I think it's super smart, right? Get from a business perspective, get other companies like kind of hooked in utilizing your services, make it something that's kind of freemium where you have. I know that we started to do this with like simply a reverse geocoder that we offered as an extension or an add-on previously when I was at Digital Element. And so I think that just like getting people engaged from a business perspective, it lends them to want to try additional features. Typically, they would like to work with the same partners and not, you know, diversify things. So if they can expand upon what they're doing, I think it's a great kind of gateway to grow their subscribers, their users, you know, their monthly revenue. Term.
Excellent. All right.
Yeah. So let's go to a dating app, Grindr, which most of us know as the LGBTQ plus dating app, is introducing some big changes. You know, they've been in the market for about 15 years now, and now they're trying to promise delivering a gayborhood in your pocket, kind of cheeky positioning there. But really, you know, they've been under pressure, I think, from both like their investor side and consumers that use their app, because they haven't had a lot of changes over the years. And sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes you got to keep up with the times, right? And there's been a lot of competitors that have come into the market. And so they are doing something now with a new feature that I think is really cool. It's a location-based launch that is like called Roam, and basically it allows users to temporarily place their profile in a new location. So you could do this ahead of a trip perhaps in order to plan that trip or connect with people while you're on that trip. And I think that's really great, right? Maybe you want to meet friends in a new city, or maybe you're traveling for business and looking to go out and just like meet up with people with similar interests. So I think that's really interesting. The other thing that I think is very interesting that they're offering is connecting its users to services, right? So whether it's like restaurants or fitness, you know, professionals or gyms, right? Or even health professionals, you could potentially find like an LGBTQ friendly doctor or therapist or, you know, gym or something like that. So I think that's really cool. And they're also, you know, being able to like gain more options with the profiles beyond just like kind of casual hookups. And they've been testing this now in several markets, and they're expecting to launch these features fully this year. You know, I think that they have some good numbers in terms of their monthly active users, MAU. They've got about 13 million around the world, and their market cap is around 1.8 billion. So definitely growth. And according to their stats, they're saying they're, you know, they're growing a lot in Latin America and Asia, but they're also stating that Gen Z adults, about 30% of them in the US identify as queer. So they definitely have like a big addressable market, for sure. And I think that these services that they offer, I really like the idea of being able to temporarily set your location, meet people there, and the services connection, I think, is really a nice perk that they're adding as far as value goes. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I concur with kind of everything you've said. You know, these guys have been around forever, right? It seems like. And, you know, I think since they've gone public, there's been a lot more pressure on them, you know, to kind of move the stock and you know, sort of add capabilities, because like they haven't added anything for a long time, it seems like. I remember, you know, years ago, in talking to some folks that were involved with the company at the time, you know, that they were playing around with, you know, sort of retail partnerships, you know, show up at American Eagle on the, you know, at this corner in New York City, you know, at 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to be having an event, a DJ party. And it was all location-based, kind of, you know, enabled and promoted through the app. But I think what we're seeing now is really like, sort of like, how do we bring that at scale? How do we start to add, you know, all these capabilities, you know, because I think there's a lot of revenue potential beyond just, you know, what the subscribers and users of the app are paying, but for brands to get, you know, involved behind this, you know, creating events, you know, share, you know, in a shared revenue type of model. I think there's a lot of things that can be done here. So I like it. You know, and I think since they've made this announcement just in the last couple of weeks here, you know, the stock has jumped up significantly, right? It was, you know, kind of hanging around $6-7. And now it's, you know, way over 10. So, and seems to be holding up and around there since, you know, just in the last few weeks. So, yeah, you know, I think people are looking for something, and, you know, as you said, the addressable market, is really big. So, I think a good move by them. So,
yeah.
All right. Final story now, we're gonna talk about a company called Glass Media. And this is a Dallas-based company, that is in the retail analytics space, and they've announced that they announced at Digital Signage Expo just recently that they have got a new platform called CrowdSense. It's a wireless occupancy scanner that measures shopper behavior at storefronts, so basically customer flows, peel off rates, dwell times, you know, providing retailers, you know, with sort of traffic analytics tied to kind of their storefront. So you know, Glass Media really focuses on these sort of, you know, window displays and these kinds of things. They have projection technology, flat panel display technology, and so they've integrated, you know, sort of this measurement capability, not unlike what we talk about with retail media networks all the time. You know, you need to have analytics to say how many people were walked by that screen or saw what's on that screen or those kinds of things. The same can be said for, you know, these storefront displays. They've partnered with a Toronto-based company, and we've actually worked with them as well at ground level, called Kaidu. They make a Wi-Fi analytics sensor. So I'm assuming that's the technology that they've integrated into this, Glass Media CrowdSense platform. And so it's providing just, you know, analytics. It's as long as it's connected to the Wi-Fi in the building, essentially it's counting devices that it's seeing in proximity. It can give you path analytics if there's more than one of these deployed throughout the building, you know, and it's fairly light and, you know, easy to deploy. It's, you know, plug them into a power outlet, in this case, you know, into the, you know, the storefront display itself, and then, you know, sort of tune it to measure, you know, kind of traffic in and around it. So, you know, nothing super complicated here, nothing, you know, sort of technology revolutionary wise. But, you know, I think just a good integration of, you know, technology that's been proven out there in the marketplace, and kind of giving the analytics that the retailer expects today to have. So any quick thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think two things. One, it really reminds me of a location-based proximity marketing company I worked for many years ago when you and I first met, called Proximus Mobility, no longer a thing. But, you know, we had similar capabilities, and we did that through the Wi-Fi and through Bluetooth sensing, right? To know like how many people passed by, what was foot traffic in certain areas. And I think that now more than ever, this is like more applicable, I think, for two things. One, it is how exciting is like my storefront display? How is that display window? What's like capturing people's attention and, you know, making people stop and stare more than others? And so some of those windows are changing, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever it may be, seasonally. So I think that's one piece. And then also, I think there's an ability to connect it with whatever digital campaigns, perhaps, that you're running, whether that's on CTV or other media efforts, and just kind of knowing, like, how does that increase that, those two components, how do they increase or decrease? So measuring those analytics. So I think this is, like, again, not anything groundbreaking from a technology standpoint, but I do like the idea of being able to link it up with what else is happening in that store, as well as campaign movement outside of the store.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, that's our show for this week. You've been listening and watching episode number 666. Brianna would like it to be 667 of Location Weekly. Well, Karsten and I, anyways, are off to Retail Loco now, so it's not too late. We'll be there Wednesday and Thursday in Minneapolis at the Mall of America. Just reach out to me on LinkedIn or wherever you can find me, and we're happy to set you up to come out and join us out there if you're in the area. Great conference ahead, lots of interesting speakers in the lineup, so excited about that. We'll probably do some interviews with some of the key speakers there as well, and share that next week's show. So until then, have a great week, everybody. Thank you, Brianna, and we'll see y'all soon. Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.